The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
O'clock on a Thursday, and John Granato's out again living the high life, living the good life. Last time, of course, he was accused by some people in this room of storming a Capitol, when actually it appears as though he may have been out of town playing golf at some kind of cup, Cup.
That's what he called it, but did we see any evidence of him at that? I mean, he sent the picture, but...
Did you want to ask for it? Because you could have got a rundown on every... He could have showed you scorecards.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of John.
Right.
Oh, I'm done. That's all I had to say.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was waiting.
No.
So there.
I'm not a huge fan of John's inability, inability to refrain from sending us pictures of where he's at. Like he's like,
where are you now, bitch?
He goes, look.
Like, well, I'm watching this game. I'm glad you're taking a picture of flowers, and in the background it's a golf course or whatever.
Get it. You're in a location where you're playing golf. I don't care.
Does he understand that when he takes pictures of, like, I like playing golf. I can't now with my shoulder, but it never has done anything where he takes a picture of a green, like he takes a picture from a, you know, from an elevated tee box and shows you, bet you wish you were here. I'm like, no, taking a picture of a three-card poker table.
I'm sorry.
You could say, bet you wish you were here.
Sorry. I think he has before, though.
He does that, too. Yeah. You're not looking directly at Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, no.
So, no, I don't wish I was there with you and your buddies. I have no interest
in
that.
Are you at Casa do Brasil?
Yeah.
Okay. Then unless you're peeling off some meat, sir, would you like some of this Parmesan crusted pork? I would. I would, dear sir. Best regards.
The thought of being around him and his buddies in some place where they're playing golf is the last place I want to be.
Yeah. Well, he's doing it again, I think. So,
is that what he's doing again?
Yeah, he's doing something. Well, I mean, in that neighborhood.
No.
He's not going to be here
today. It's not the Cabo Cup this time?
Nah, there's something else going on, I think, in Mexico. So he's not going to be here
I think he's with Wendy, right? Isn't that?
She might have gotten an invite this time.
She might have been allowed to tag along.
Maybe.
It is Valentine's Day weekend.
I think
you think that's what it is?
I think this weekend it's with
whatever with Wendy the told him to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
Wendy told him to do something. He's doing it. So we're here. Dell's in studio with me. Tyler's here. So we got a fun trio, and we're going to move along for you. The first thing is, you and I were just talking about this. It actually was a bigger note locally from people who reached out. I probably had about five or six different people who texted, which I was kind of surprised about this, but Jamie Roots, the now former president of the Houston Texans, resigned yesterday. And this was something that I know we had talked about it on the show, and so it's kind of been a foregone conclusion to me, but I had heard Jamie was going to either resign. At first, it had come out, well, behind the scenes, John told me, yep, Jamie will be gone on Monday. And this is after this is directly after Nick Caserio was hired. And we're like, wow, he's getting whacked too. Well, then it came out that, behind the scenes at least, that Jamie was going to stay around. I heard he was going to stay around longer than this. I heard it might have been all the way until summer. Initially, that this is the rumor. I don't know if this is true, that they were going to pay him more money to stay around longer. And I think it was with, and Mike Florio has this, I think it was with the perception of it that it didn't look so dysfunctional. But actually, I don't know if there was anything about financial compensation that was involved. Maybe it was terms of contract. But Jamie Roots has resigned from the Houston Texans. Now, I don't know what Jamie's, I did read Jamie's official, you know, goodbye and business. And he did make a point of saying the business side has never been in better hands. And when we had him in studio, when he was pushing his book, he did comment on, you know, he did admit that it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to deal with a team that, you know, is where they are. Like, there's a difference between the business side and the team side. He thanked the McNairs. There was no mention of Jack Easterby. That definitely wasn't in there. And here's what I heard, and this didn't come from Jamie Roots. I'll tell you this now. What I heard at the time was that Jamie Roots was full steam ahead on doing it the right way. The GM hire, the coaching hire, you're going to get Corn Ferry, you'll pay them, they'll come up with a list, you'll talk to the people around football who know who should be the people to look for. They were going to get through all the interviews. It was really going to be, and we were talking about the fact, and we saw some of the people they were interviewing and talked to Joe Brady, like, wow, the Texans are doing this, you know, like a real football team. And it's crazy that that should earn praise when you just do things the way that a hiring practice should go. But that's where we are and where we were. And then when Jack Easterby, now once again, this is what I've heard, is that when Jack Easterby circumvented the whole process and went around the search committee and just went and prayed on it until he got his guy that he wanted, who would keep him in the building, Nick Caserio, who, by the way, is clearly under Jack's spell as well. As soon as he prayed Nick Caserio into existence with Cal, then and they said, let's go get the plane and get him, and he did that. What I've heard is that that was the end for Jamie. Like, and it was Jamie's decision, like, okay, that's enough of this. Like, because he knows it's as the stuff we all talk about, Jamie knows it now too. So Jamie Roots, after 20 years, is gone. He resigned. I think it was his own decision. I don't think he was forced out. I think after he saw how that last thing went and how they everything was just short-circuited, it's my understanding from someone close to it that was it. Like, Jamie was just over it. And just think about that. This is the last, other than the McNairs, this is the last guy, to my recollection, last man standing in terms of lifetime with the organization. So he's been there from the beginning. 2000 or 2001 is when Jamie came in, Roots, and now he is gone too as he departs. And obviously it's because of what's going on. So there's really, you know, this will allow them to, Jack to take over as president or, you know, get him on the president's side. Maybe it'll be good. Get him to be president if it means get him out of football side.
Why would you say maybe it'll be good?
Because he'll be out of football.
You're an eternal optimist when it comes to the situation, because you keep looking for ways where this won't be a disaster. And you know, you're around enough football people to know this. There's no good that's going to come from this.
Are you ever in a situation, maybe your parents are fighting, or maybe...
I came from a broken home, so thanks for opening up that wound. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, maybe too, when Lance. You're going... Okay, so you're headed with your brother as a suitcase, and you're headed to...
Thanks
Home
for
Depot.
Opening up that traumatic incident.
And you're headed to Home Depot, and in your heart, you're thinking, he shouldn't
Dad
have a suitcase.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, he shouldn't have a suitcase
once again,
on the way to Home Depot.
Look.
Did you maybe say to yourself, well, maybe we're going to put some tools in there?
I'll tell you, since you want to bring this up, like John likes to bring up my firing, I'm gonna explain to you one more time. I was not going to Home Depot with him.
You were?
No, I was at...
You weren't forced in a car to teach you a lesson like, this can happen to you?
No.
Oh.
The deal was, if you missed it, I've told the story multiple times, they just keep butchering it, but they like to bring it up all the time. My dad pretended that he was taking my brother to Home Depot. What he was actually doing is he had the family friend take my brother to Home Depot while my dad packed his bags.
Oh,
so while they were out at Home Depot, his bags were packed.
Yeah.
And when he came back, the bags were in the car. They put him in the car and they took him to the airport.
Yeah, because our story's better. Our story,
your story,
the story we heard, how we heard it from the streets.
Of course,
how me and John had heard it was that. You guys, your dad pretended like you were going to Home Depot with a suitcase, and then he just drove past and said he was going to the Home Depot near the airport.
No.
And then just drove right past that one. No. That's how we heard
it. I mean, Home Depot is a pretty prolific brand, so I'm sure there was a Home Depot by the airport, but no. They got him out of the house, packed the bags, and then when he came back, the bags were packed in the car. They put him in the car, and they took him to the airport.
How old was your brother at this time?
16.
I think, if he was a little bit younger, it probably would have been a little bit more of a funny story if your dad had actually gone into the Home Depot and, like, went shopping for, like, 30 or 45 minutes.
No.
Because the last place a kid wants to be is a Home
Trust
Depot.
Me, I'm aware. I'm aware. I've been to Home Depot as a kid, and it's annoying as hell. No one wants to be there. You don't want to be there as a kid, but no. My brother got my brother's last outing in California was a fake Home Depot trip. And then I you know what I bet happened? I bet the family friend actually needed stuff from Home Depot and made my brother pack the car with stuff. But by the time they made it a useful trip, but by the time my brother got back, his bags were packed and he was headed to parts unknown. But to your point, what are you saying, that if I go to Home Depot and think, you know, this might turn out well this time? No kid ever thinks going to Home Depot is going to turn out well, much like you should come to the realization this is not going to turn out well.
Well, but this is my thought, and this is where I want – okay, so I want you to look at this. Oh, ESPN's officially got a Jack Easterby segment now.
That's notable bad. Career roles for Jack up on the
that's,
screen.
That's – yeah, one, comedian, two, stand-up. When he hit – like, seriously, I remember going to see Jack at the Comedy Cellar.
That's not true.
It was a hot – like – there was. I was in New York. It was 2016, I think, and I was hoping to. We were in New York, my wife and I, and we were going to Comedy Cellar, and that's when you know you almost have like pickup games of basketball. You have pickup, you know, comedy. Sometimes people will just show up, and I remember this young hotshot comedian got up there. His name was Jack, and it turned out it was Jack Easterby, and he came up on the stage. And first, you know, Chris Rock said, "Coming up to the stage." And Chris, because Chris had done a little five, he was working on some new stand-up. He did like a hot five. And then he called up Jack Easterby. And it was a little too edgy for the New York crowd, if I'm being honest.
How so?
He just had some things about gang stuff. Crip walking.
Shout out to the and fish. It was,
yeah. So, I mean, it felt a little edgy for the New York crowd. But to me, I thought, this guy has something. I could see him as a potential president of a football team. Even when his comedy was, and it was like I said, it was only about 5 minutes for Jack, but you could see he had something there in the Comedy Cellar. Of course, he went on to perform at different youth groups and whatnot. And then he took over a football team. Now, if that doesn't say path to glory, if that doesn't say this is how you pull yourself up by the bootstraps and take over a football team, I don't know what does.
But you believe all this has led to a potential successful run with the Texans now?
Well, so I didn't say a successful run.
Okay.
This could be a good thing is what I said.
How so?
Well, let me explain. Those are mutually exclusive.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean it's going to be successful if it's a good thing. I could say, man, me and John are moving to 8 o'clock. So, Dell, you don't have to get up until an hour later. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Now, that may not be a great thing for us. They may be saying, oh, you're not going to do earlier. That's because y'all suck. So, we're going to keep doing Zubin.
More Zubin and,
yeah.
Jay and Keyshawn.
Or you could say, hey, we're going to add this meat to, we're going to add something to our dinner. Oh, good, because then they'll eat that and they'll leave the good stuff alone. Because you don't want to have to eat liver, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. If you add, Jack Easterby's the liver of the Texans organization, liver and onions. You know, an acquired taste for some, like Cal. But I think getting him out of the football side and into sweet sales, whatever. How
Cal's
can he hurt us?
Definitely a liver and onions guy.
Yeah, I mean he can't hurt us.
Wait,
if he's selling sweets, what could he do to us?
When we have to go to break, I got to be the guy who does that because I know you'll just destroy Tyler's time here trying to get us to break. I know.
I mean, I was letting him go.
But do you think that when you thought to yourself, all right, the Casario thing is over, now Jack will be out of football, did you think to yourself?
Yeah, I did think that at one point.
Did you think that Jack would have directly affected Jamie Roots' job? Did you think that
at
the time?
At the time. Well, I barely had time to process it where John was already coming in like, Jamie's gone on Monday. What? Excuse me?
Yeah.
So I didn't
Jack,
have time to
let
process
me tell you
that.
Something. Jack Easterby permeates throughout the organization. There will be no place he doesn't have influence or effect. This whole thought that now that Casario's in the building, the football guy, things will be okay. You mean the guy that's completely
that
enthralled
time.
By Jack Easterby?
Yeah, I said that.
You
one
mean
time.
The guy who's still calling agents, Jack Easterby?
They call Nick Casario a cyborg because he's so unemotional, and yet it seems like he's been tricked also.
You know, Colonel Troutman or whatever his title was when he was talking to John Rambo, and Rambo,
it's not over.
It's over, Lance. It's over. As long as Jack's here, it's over.
You know what Easterby has? Easterby probably has that scepter from the Avengers.
Yes.
And he just touches
people. He's Loki
people.
With the scepter.
And in the chest, and then he takes over. It's the Mind Stone.
Forget about it. It's over, Lance. You might as well start
under
rooting.
His spell.
Pick another team to root for.
Kenny, like, how can you hurt us if you're doing sweet sales? You're saying that he's still going to do
other
stuff.
Why you? Why? He might not even do sweet sales. He may just get one of his guys to do it. Who knows? There might be more ECB influence in the building. Why would he allow this opportunity to go past without hiring another loyalist? So we'll have another loyalist in that position while he still has his fingers on other stuff.
I mean, not feel like you've been, like, grifted if Easterby sold you a Texan suite? Like, it's... No.
Jack,
how did this... The hierarchy... feel worse. Yeah, it wouldn't feel like that.
The hierarchy is Cal.
Okay.
Easterby and Casario. And you still have hope?
I was thinking that maybe Jack would be out of the football stuff, too, if he's
no.
selling sponsorships to...
No, Jack wants...
The sponsorships would be more wholesome.
He wants he wants a part of everything. Oh. You're done for. Sorry. Not that sorry.
Ugh. I regret bringing it up.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:20 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, Del Olale, and Tyler Cito with you right now. Tyler Scott. So we're here for you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We'll get you right up. I will say, first of all, there's a lot of buzz going on in our building because the Tom and Tom's coffee shop that opened up, really cool coffee shop here and right downstairs from us. It's at West Alabama. You guys can come on by. It's next to Hidden Omakase, which has the comic books, the place that's basically impossible to get into because it's booked so far in advance all the time. Although I did hear this Friday they're opening reservations at midnight. So, but they this coffee shop is going to have food for everyone in our building, which our building is down to, I'd say, like 30% capacity from what it was, if I were to guess. And so for us, of course, the most important thing is, when is this free food going to be there for us to try? Oh, 8:30 to 10:30. Sounds terrible. Those are hours that we need. So we were game planning, like, how can we get food up here during that time frame? Because if there's anything that you know from listening to us for years, it's that pretty much the show will come to a screeching halt if food comes into the building. And that's hopefully true today as well. So no Rockets, stayed in play. James Harden got into it with DeAndre Jordan. Was that yesterday or day before? That was day before.
They played last night and won. It was the game against the Pistons where they couldn't stop in anything.
Which has been much of their season.
Yeah, they don't play any defense, particularly since Harden's gotten there. And James, being the defensive stalwart that he is, decided to take a leadership role and talk to DeAndre Jordan about their lack of intensity on that side of the floor.
Now this is pretty rich. James was upset with someone's defense. This is the new James. Doesn't have the fat suit on. He's holding people accountable defensively, which is good. Of course, it's turning into, you know, and do I think there's going to be issues with James and teammates at some point, especially Kyrie? Yes. But it's turned into, is James already beefing with his teammates? Well, I mean, he's going to get into it. The question is going to be, is he going to get into it about when he has the ball? It's clear the Rockets are not nearly as good a team as when James Harden was here. Do you think there's any remorse from James about the look, either leaving the Rockets or maybe where he is? It's probably too early for him to have any of that. I think he's still happy that he is where he is.
I think it's too early because Kyrie will tell you that they have the odds stacked against them. So this is a team who realizes that the whole world's out to get them. So they just have to work through it. And once the playoffs come around, they'll be fine. There won't be any remorse from James until everyone's looking at him and because he's not the guy, he's not the piece who got them over the top. When Kevin Durant is back off his COVID protocol stuff and and then things probably start rolling the regular season because they'll just be able to outscore people. It won't become an issue until they're down 2-1 in the series and James has scored averaging 18 points on 39% shooting, and then everyone's looking at him like, what the hell? Then he'll start to ask himself, what is going on? But right now...
Or if he's not getting his looks.
Either way, but we've seen... I think James is more than happy to be that third guy right now.
Right now, yeah.
When Kevin Durant and Kyrie are playing, I don't think he has a problem. I mean, whether you call that a negative part of his personality or not, I don't think James will have a problem deferring. I just think if it comes down to it and they're struggling, they're not going to point to the guys who have been there. They're going to look at the guy who they traded stuff for and go, what are you doing?
And I don't run in his world, obviously, or anywhere near that world. But I would imagine that James could just come back to Houston and be part of his James world anyway. He doesn't need to play for the Rockets.
Like, no.
He can come back to Houston anytime he wants. He can live here. So even I don't think there's ever going to be a seller's remorse or a, I don't know what it would be called for James, but I don't think he will ever wish, maybe I shouldn't have left the Rockets. I think it might be maybe I should have pushed for this or that. Although the Rockets, James didn't have a no trade. So the Rockets were able to make the best deal possible for them. But, you know, I know Boston was in the mix. I know Philadelphia was in the mix. But the best offer came from the Nets, and so that's who the Rockets traded him to. And he wanted the Nets. So it was a win-win. Let's get Dr. Funyan in here. The first time call from Dr. Funyan.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. I'm tired of talking about Count Chocula eating train playing Cal McNair. So I wanted to talk a little bit about celebrating a championship. We all saw TB12. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. TB12 celebrating getting off the boat in the Super Bowl parade. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, you're talking about when he threw the trophy? Or are you talking about when he was stumbling? Oh, when he was stumbling? Yeah. Yeah, Tommy went kind of hard in the paint. He had somebody walking literally with him to hold him up.
Yeah, and he like ran into a guy and did kind of like one of those drunk bro hugs. But so I was thinking, it made me think about the time when the Astros won the World Series and what I did to celebrate. I was just wondering what you guys might have did to celebrate their win, because I know after they won, I celebrated and immediately got onto the hub for about 15, 20 minutes and celebrated that way. So I just wanted to hear about what you guys did to celebrate.
If this is a man who listens to the show for a long period of time, because if you missed it yesterday, John did a story, I think, either during News of the Weird, but
I have not heard
definitely in a 10 o'clock hour, that Tampa, well, there's an uptick in Pornhub usage right after the Bucks won the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's the hub.
Yeah, the hub.
I noticed that Pornhub's media department there was a spike after NASCAR's race was over.
I talked about this, so
the hub.
You know, if the Dolphins ever won a Super Bowl, I don't think the first thing I would do it would be to run the Pornhub.
So are they saying but usually their angle's always that, and we noticed a spike, like no one can check this.
Yeah.
Do you think is there someone who runs the...
No, it's their internal stuff.
Yeah, is anyone going to go audit the actual numbers of Pornhub's, of the hub's...
traffic.
Traffic, to make sure they're right. They usually say the losing team had the spike. That's usually what they say is, we noticed a spike from Kansas City. Kansas City had a spike
over
from the hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember the particulars, but I just know they said there was an uptick.
I can't even Google the story because
you're on that NFL computer.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to... Oh, Pornhub. Anything that Google and I start with Pornhub, like what? I'm immediately flagged and in trouble.
Well, the story was an uptick in traffic right after the Bucks win. And my thought is... I don't know if John said it was specific to Tampa, but if it was, would that be your initial, when the Astros won in 17, was your initial thing to either watch the celebration, watch highlights, shake your head when Correa got engaged, whatever you thought, or was it to run the Pornhub?
I mean, I searched Asian feet, but that's
what?
Me.
Why would you do that?
Just because I was celebrating.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of trying to pull it all together.
You thought, well, no, because you were excited.
That's a joke. No, that's not the first thing I think of. And usually if you're celebrating with other people, that's going to be super, super awkward. If you're with other people and you're like, well, I still have my phone, I guess. I don't have a laptop or a desktop or an iPad. Let me just bust this out on the phone and start watching. That's going to be weird if you're at, like my buddy Chris Solis is at Little Woodrow's there in Midtown. If all of a sudden he pulls that up, he starts doing a search on the hub right there on his phone and watching at the bar while he's, you know, ordering a drink. I just think that's going to be weird. It's going to be like doing something like that on an airplane.
Yeah, so after Charlie Morton did what he did as the Astros
won. Which was just beat. Just he didn't do anything with the hub.
No,
you're
not
talking about just
once
the
he
pitching.
Yeah, in 2017.
Okay.
And you didn't think to yourself, man, Charlie F. and Morton, let me go run and look up feet on the hub?
No.
Turn your mic back on.
No, I didn't. I didn't think of that.
I didn't. And being specific to Tampa, I don't know that that's the case either, because there's a lot of retirees down there, and I don't know that they would have caused that much of a spike.
No, they don't care. That's
it would have taken probably.
That's just too much effort. That's to like
30 minutes to an hour,
and
to be able to cause that.
I don't know how John found the story, because everything. If I try to type in Tampa, the hub, Super Bowl, it's not coming up with that story. It's just stuff I don't want to watch right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I don't know how he found that story, but he talked about it yesterday, and that's why Dr. Funyan called in about it. Dr. Funyan.
He asked what we did to celebrate.
Well, what did you do?
I for the World Series in 17?
Yeah, did you?
What I did was it ended at like 1 o'clock. It was super late, I remember. And I remember we had to fly to New York the next day because my wife was running a New York marathon, so I just ended up trying to go to bed and get my 2 hours of sleep.
Oh, so you didn't download stuff for the plane?
No. No.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that quick, depending on what you're into.
iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Funyan, I don't remember what I did.
You remember it wasn't that, though?
I remember I didn't run to the hub. I probably, you know, this is a big moment in the city. I mean, not the biggest baseball fan, but I was happy the Astros won for the city. For the H, I believe, is what we say now. So I went to watch all the proceedings. I didn't think to myself, you know what? What's Megan doing over on the hub?
We got four first rounders for James? Hold on. Get to the hub on this.
Yeah, guys, when good things happen in sports for you, what are your memories of going to the hub? Call in. 713-780-3776.
Be careful.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to open that.
I don't mind it. Not my show.
All right, let's do it. I don't care either.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Looking for 7:34 here on The Bench. Oh my goodness. Freaky Deaky has just reached out. Side chick day.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of the year.
Tomorrow, he will have rules of the game on side chick day. I do not condone this. I do not endorse this.
Mm-hmm.
As a happily married man who believes
in the sanctity?
In the sanctity of marriage and monogamy, I cannot put a stamp on this. However, as also a person who believes in free speech, and believes that it's a right for those of you who have opinions to voice them, whether we're happy with them or not. This is an annual tradition where Freaky Deaky comes on the show and gives out the updated rules of the game for side piece day, side chick day. He does this before Valentine's Day. So he gives out He gives out the rules. He gives out lessons. He tells you stories. And so, once again, not condoning this. If Maddie's listening, she didn't know what side chick means, but she can tell something's not right. My own daughter hears this.
Just by your tone.
Yeah. But he will be on tomorrow. We'll set up a time. That's something you usually don't want to miss.
I am happy that he's coming on because I want to know if, in the age of COVID, the rules have changed.
Ooh, see, that's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, there's a basic way you handle your side piece, I'm assuming, because I've never needed a side piece because I didn't make the mistake of getting married. But if you have made that mistake, are the rules changed now that COVID is in play?
Is that considered a side piece if a girl or guy who are just dating someone and they think exclusively, but they're not? No, it's not exclusive. That's the same thing, right?
I don't know. He'll be able to answer that question for us.
In that category, yeah.
Are you a side piece if...
Are you a side piece?
If the main piece isn't married? If it isn't a marriage that you're the side of? Like if you're...
That's what I'm saying.
If you're the mashed potato, can you be the mashed potatoes if you're not married? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I would have to ask. It's not...
I would think... doesn't have to be any marriage for there to be somebody considered
a
side piece.
There's a main chick. Is there a side...
Or main dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe has a different...
I mean, Holly, you can chime in. I'm sure you have some info on it one way or the other. I'm not calling you a side piece, but I'm sure you have some rules to the game because you like to play the game. So if you're listening, don't tweet because then it becomes public information. You have our numbers. You can let us know.
So are you... Quick question for both of you guys. Are y'all coming in on Monday?
Why wouldn't I?
When is it going to be a snow day?
I know the freeze is in.
Yeah, I'm not coming in. It's snow day. We don't get snow days like ever, so I'm taking a snow day.
How much snow makes it a snow day in Houston?
Any.
Ah.
Go ask any child who runs outside with their mouth open. Snow!
Well, I don't
what
live.
What are y'all doing?
Well, I'm not Klein ISD, so I might.
No, so it's going to be cold AF. It's going to be in the 20s as a high and 18 as a low. So it actually, supposedly it was going to be on Saturday, and then it moved to Sunday, and now it's Monday. It's going to be cold on Sunday, really cold. There's a second cold front coming in, so you're going to have one cold front, and then you're going to get hit by a second one. This second one's going to make it about as cold here as it's been in a long time. The low is going to be 18, I guess, on Monday, which I think means technically Sunday night into Monday morning, and the high is going to be in the 20s. There's a 60% chance of rain.
Yeah, I've got my weather app up.
I mean, chance of precipitation.
Yeah,
which could means
turn into snow.
Snow play boy. And if it's snow,
we're staying home.
Hey, you and I can't get up this. None of us can get up this ramp.
Yeah, and I'm not walking up the ramp in snow-like temperatures to get in. My weather app is up, and yeah, snow in the forecast for the great city of League. So I am telling you now, 60% chance of snow.
Yeah.
I'm telling the world, if I look out my window at 5:15 in the morning and I see even a light dusting, saying, I'm out.
Snow day, Tyler.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know right now.
That's cool.
Never been a better time to run Zubin and Zabin and Jay Will and Joseph and
The name of the show.
Mark,
don't be insulting.
I mean, they're listening on the way in. Their interview with Damian Woody was riveting.
Ooh.
I don't know if y'all heard that or not.
I feel that that's not very sincere.
What was it?
They spent probably 75% of the interview asking him about rooms in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked him about Belichick and Tom Brady. And it's like, why are you going to wake this dude up at 6:30 for 10 minutes of this?
Yeah.
That's a little
weird.
I've got some information from a trusted source. Side chick day, from the woman's point of view, equals get that cash.
Whoa.
So
how does that?
Because, well, if you're not, what else would you be giving her besides gifts and money?
Oh, if she's the side chick?
If she's the side chick. Side chick day equals.
Cash in
day, because you're not going to be able to spend that much time.
I don't think Freaky Deaky sees it the same way. He's talked about giving discount candy in the past. He's talked about, like, he's basically said you never ever put her on the pedestal.
Well, this is coming from someone who I don't know if they've been a side chick or just knows the rules. That day is meant to cash in.
Let me get you an exact time.
Can we have dueling? Yeah. Can we have dueling? A dueling point of view.
For it. I mean, I'm all for it.
Excuse me.
I'm all for it.
Source who texted me, would you be up for a dueling back and forth with this gentleman about what side chick day actually is?
I'm all for it because it won't go well for that person.
Well, this person. This person.
Well,
may,
it's just a separate.
This person may have some more to protect. So,
what time do you want to do it with our guy Freaky?
Well, whenever 8:30? Whenever he'd like.
Let's do 8:30.
And she responds with, why would you want to be a side chick if you don't get benefits? Would you work out without benefits?
Well, your benefits are when you work out, you get in better shape.
Look, well, and the benefit, yeah, exactly. Would you work out and not see any results? Is that great? So she's saying, why would I be the side chick, not the main chick, if I'm not going to be getting anything out of it? Mm. I mean, because I'm going to imagine the side chick would tell you that it ain't. He's probably not going that great in other departments. So if I'm going to be with you and not get the house and the car and the prestige.
You know, we have a name for that.
I'm not going to. Go ahead.
You know we have a word for that.
I understand, but it's the game is the game, Lance.
It starts with pros.
Sure does. The game is the game, I think.
And it ends with shun, to push away. Mm. That word doesn't belong in
uh-huh.
That doesn't actually belong.
I don't delve into this world because I don't have the cash for it, personally, and I don't have the time or the patience to deal with multiple women
I
have to make happy.
Is there such a thing as discount side chicks?
Maybe
that's a question we need to ask. Freaky deaky also, like, because maybe you could afford one.
But why would I want
if you wanted maybe like a kind of a discount side chick.
What does a discount side chick look like?
Just fast food.
No, not what I'm giving her. What does she look like?
I mean, yeah, a four.
Why would I want a four as my side chick?
Because if you're dying to get a side chick, maybe we can get you a discount side chick.
I'm not dying to feed a four.
It's like relegation.
Hold on. Am I dying to feed a four? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is you're getting yourself something.
What am I getting?
I don't know, something to eat. You're like, hey, I'll pick you up something off the $1 menu.
Hey, you want something from Tiff's Treats? Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Nah,
well,
Tiff's
if you're
Treats
on a $1
is,
menu,
it,
you can
that's
get
for
the
big leagues.
What's that?
Tiff's Treats is for the big leagues.
Yeah, that's even too much for a four. Junior bacon cheeseburger, $1 menu, look, and maybe some biggie fries.
I'm getting live results from our conversation.
That's literally $2, Dell. But I mean, no, why can't you do
the point? The issue,
side chick on a budget.
The issue isn't the cost. That clearly is an issue. But as far as I'm not looking to feed a four.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. I want.
That's a good actually. From a life, that's actually a life philosophy. I'm not looking to feed a four. That's actually a really good philosophy.
Yeah, think about it. Men or women, because some women are the breadwinners. Why at any point would you want to bankroll a four?
I'm not looking to feed a five, feed a four. It all works that way.
Six, and you make me laugh.
I'm not looking to stake a six.
What if they make you laugh?
A six?
What if they're funny?
But a six and they're funny and they make you laugh, that's just called, you know what that's called?
Your wife?
That's
not your wife specifically. Not yours specifically.
But, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it.
You know what I'm saying.
I've seen it happen for others.
You know, and once again, it's not unique to one's gender. It could be both. I mean, they're a six, but they make you laugh and you like being around them.
Yeah.
So you marry them.
Tori's like, boy, Maddie's mad at you right now. The fact that I haven't gotten a text or a call means I'm safe. I'm good.
Yeah.
I would have already heard.
But side chick day is, I guess.
8:30 tomorrow.
8:30, we'll hear. And once again, person who's live texting me as we're talking, if you want to give the differing approach, you're more than welcome to call in too. Yeah. I'd love to hear. We've always heard Freaky Deaky side, but what about a person who knows the other side of the game?
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing it.
Yeah, so right. Open invitation.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:48 here on The Bench. 713-780-3776. We hear that John Granato has partially escaped because it's his birthday. So, birthday, Valentine's Day. So, he's gone today. He's gone tomorrow. Side Chick Day. Freaky Deaky will call in tomorrow at 8:30. So, I need to make sure I tell my man Coop so he can get in on this. Hopefully, you're listening right now, Coop.
And I'm lining up a differing opinion, a different
voice. You think we're going to get that?
Possibly. We're just going to have to protect the not-so-innocent by not using the name of this person. And also, I told her, you'll be like the liberal on Fox News. I mean, you're coming into an environment where you had three men, or four at the time, who may have a different opinion. You come in and offering an opinion that may not be so welcome. It just depends. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I hope she can make it.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
I think we should give them both their own opening statements, though.
We will, and then they can have it back and forth.
Unfettered.
It'll be cordial. Yeah. I think they're both well-versed, tenured in the game.
And yeah, my man Freaky Deaky's minus 400.
You think so?
Yeah.
But this person, I would say, has run with, like, the legit ballers.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying when it comes to the debate itself, he's...
I don't know.
He's pretty... I'm excited.
Same person? Is it this person that I'm thinking of?
I don't know who you're thinking of, but possibly. Possibly.
How would you make that letter?
I don't know. Well, we won't be calling this person by their actual name.
Let's... Eagles fan.
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that
about.
Too much?
I would say...
All right,
I would
you
say
just confirmed.
Fan of, I will say...
You just confirmed.
I will say
Sheila?
I will say fan of Pennsylvania football overall.
Could be anybody. Okay.
And that could be anybody.
Could literally be anybody. Could
then
be
I know who you're talking about.
Could be Dez, the Steelers fan.
Yeah.
This could be.
This person may be a Steelers fan.
Could be a Penn State fan.
Yeah, never know. A Pitt fan, I don't know.
Either way, she has
ties to Pennsylvania, and she might possibly join us. That's all.
By the way, I'm pretty excited. Somebody on Twitter is playing a Madden franchise, and my dad just got they're playing back in 2000, whatever, 8 or 9 Steelers, and my dad's got elevated, I think, to offense coordinator, but maybe to head coach. So
OC.
We're pretty excited in the family. We went to the hub and did some stuff, you know, out. If you haven't been around.
For a video game promotion?
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad
it doesn't take much.
The new OC for the Steelers. From NFL head coach 09.
Oh, NFL head coach. That's right. I had that, and I don't know if you actually ever played a game. You want to talk about failed video game concepts? Head coach. You had a chance to become a head coach.
And all you did was...
Didn't make it. There wasn't a head coach 010. There wasn't a head coach 10 or a head coach 11.
There was some gameplay, but it really wasn't from your perspective. You got to watch how the game would go and see if your moves made sense. It was supposed to be something built off of franchise, because franchise is a big mode, and people thought, well, if you love franchise, what about head coach? Nah, didn't last. Mistake.
Yeah,
EA's made some of those. But as we found out last week, they are bringing back EA College Football, so we'll see how that goes. You probably won't see it until 23, but it's back.
It's back. Are they waiting for NIL to get officially in?
Well, I don't know if
NIL means name,
image, and likeness.
Image and likeness.
I don't know. Part of it has to do with just simple development of the game. I don't know how long this has been in the works, if they actually started with that stuff. So maybe it's from the moment they decided they could do it, and it probably takes about 2 years or so for development. So we'll see. And you're probably right. Once the game is out, that stuff will probably be figured out. It might be figured out this year as far as players and their ability to make money off their name. We know the Congress has already put a bill in place. It's not that close to being signed, but it's something they've offered where it'll be the most comprehensive thing, and it's pretty much free reign for the players. The NCAA wanted limits on how much you could make. They actually asked for help from Congress, but when the Democrats took over the Senate, the whole "we're going to be nice to the NCAA" thing kind of went out the window.
You know, I'm curious about at some point. I think there is going to become an issue involving, because of the spiraling costs of college in general for average students. I am curious, you know, there was a time where you thought, oh, you play football, but what, you know, your scholarship is worth how much?
Mm-hmm.
$40,000.
Per year.
Yeah. Well, now it's per year. It could have been right. Now, the scholarship is extremely valuable. Like, people are taking on college debt that lasts for decades. And we now are in a place where we're acting like this is not, the players get nothing. But the average person, and many times the people making the same argument are the ones who are taking on college debt, even for 4 years. I'm not talking about post-grad. They're taking on tremendous debt that takes a while to get out of because of how expensive college is now. And I do wonder if they are going, if there is going to be something that involves that scholarship. Now that name, image, and likeness, like you have to pay back a percentage of the scholarship if you leave early because that was something that could have gone to someone who was 4 years. I don't know. And that would probably be down the road. I have heard this before, and I don't think it's a bad idea that it goes in, that a percentage of the money goes into account that will be waiting for you when you're done with X amount of years in college. You get some of it up front, and you get the rest of it at the end, so that it's not like a pay to play situation. I don't think that would pass with anybody. I don't think it's a terrible idea, though, in terms of if you're going to benefit from this, because the name, look, you're not making money with your name, image, likeness unless you are playing a sport. The sport does offer you the scholarship and the opportunity, in the future at least, to make money off of your name, image, and likeness. It's a two-way street. So, meaning, obviously, schools benefit, but it doesn't have to be you. Like, even if it's not Trevor Lawrence, somebody else is going to be playing for Clemson. The game is way bigger than the player in college football. Not in the pros, but in college, the game is way bigger than the players. You're only going to be there for 3 years anyway, and maybe soon it will be 2 years. So the game's always going to keep going, and so college football, that's different than the pros in that regard. I do wonder if there's going to be something to make sure that players try to play that third year instead of everyone just bailing on college football after their sophomore year, because I know that's been a concern of mine, and I'm having NFL people say that they have the same concern that you're just going to see mass exits of college football if a team starts off 0-3 or a team starts off 1-2, or if you're not playing, you just shut it down and just go start working out for the draft. Because then you really haven't tried to be a student athlete. We know it's kind of a joke in basketball because you barely have to be there at all. But in football, you do have to stay eligible for a certain amount of time. But the value of a college scholarship now, man, it is so expensive. Now, we're talking about it's going to be $100,000-plus for 4 years. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. And in many cases, it's more than that. I just wonder if that's going to be factored in at any way, shape, or form for the general student base. Like, if an athlete leaves early, then the athletic department has to, you know, then some of that funds get rerouted to take care of scholarships for average students.
No, you're talking
partial
about
scholarships. I don't know. That's wild. That's not even being discussed.
It's funny you're talking about the price of a scholarship and the value. There are athletic departments making decisions on are they going to renew some scholarship for, you know, because of the COVID year, the NCAA allowed for seniors who normally would have used up all their eligibility to have a free year, and they were able to come back this year. And depending on the viability of your athletic department, some administrators are telling coaches, yeah, we don't have the money to pay for 90-plus guys on scholarship. Just because you have, like, 8 seniors who you'd love to come back and play, we really only want to pay for, like, 85. So,
yeah,
those guys can't come back because we don't have the money for it. And in some cases, we're going to need you to play under 85 because it was a hard year for us.
For some schools, they're still in very dire situations financially. Yeah, schools are.
So, like, the schools we root for, the schools we talk about on this show, as far as college football is concerned, they won't have those problems. But even a place like Houston probably is not going to have that issue. But maybe a school in their own conference says, look, I know you've got a guy who thinks he can come back and help, and you think he can come back and help, but you took a full recruiting class. And so we're only in it for 85. We're not going to pay for 90.
I don't know how that's going to – yeah, I was wondering how that would work with COVID hitting people financially so hard and them saying, okay, you can all come back. Is the NCAA kicking – are you going to put something on our books?
No, it's all about what the school is willing to pay for.
Because some schools can't – like you said, some schools aren't going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, they're telling coaches, play with 85, and maybe in some cases you don't get to play with 85. We don't – those 6 guys who would have helped you have a better record, tell them to go someplace else.
Speaking of that, when we come back, I want to mention there is a big concern in the NFL that with the salary cap going down, there's going to be the salary cap number for this year, there's going to be some major, major moves that will have to go down with a lot of teams to get under the cap. What that will mean, maybe to our Texans, but certainly to the NFL when we come back. 7:58 here on the bench.